Lord, we just thank you so much that we are not just just accidents of blind evolution, but instead, Lord, we have been custom designed by such a good God. Thank you that we as Christians can call you our Father, and that we are not left alone in this world to try to figure things out, but that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to find a way that in spite of our sins, that we could be reconciled back to you. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is nearer to us than our closest friend. Thank you for the encouragement that he gives to us. Lord, we thank you also that we have purpose in life, that you have custom designed us with a unique blend of spiritual gifts and personality traits and spheres of influence, that we can accomplish something of eternal worth here on this earth that nobody else has been assigned to do. Lord, we thank you that we have a calling, and thank you that we don't have to do it by ourselves, but that we have the church. We have people from various generations and various cultures and backgrounds that we can work together and be one family and just function as the body of Christ here on earth. Lord, we thank you for those people from within our church that have or will be going to other parts of this world to spread your love. Particularly, we pray for Hannah, who now is in Greece and ministering to Muslim refugees. Lord, we pray that you would protect her from compassion fatigue. Lord, we pray that you would also protect her from any physical harm and give her wisdom on how to share the good news with others. And Lord, we also pray that you would help our Bolivia mission trip team to work well together and just to be ready to influence and be influenced by those whom they minister to in Bolivia. And Lord, we pray for each Christian here in this room that we would all find the way that we can most effectively serve you within our church and among the Christian community. And Lord, we pray for this worship service. Give us alert minds. Keep us awake to what you want to tell us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what is the driving force behind First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church? What is the principle that will guide us in making choices for the direction of our church? What will determine our priorities? And what will we choose to do and not do based upon our limited time, talent, and treasures? The answer is the purpose of God. Our church needs to be a purpose-driven church. In other words, we need to determine what God considers to be important, and then we need to ask ourselves, what can we do to fulfill God's purpose in our church? Then we need to make plans to fulfill that purpose, and then we need to put those plans into action. And finally, we need to evaluate periodically to see whether we are actually fulfilling God's purpose for our church. There are many advantages of being a purpose-driven church. First and most importantly, we please God. We show that we are more concerned about His will than we are about our own will or the leaders of our church. Secondly, we are fulfilled. We accomplish things that have eternal significance. Thirdly, it helps us to determine what is effective. it gives us reason to either continue or discontinue any particular ministry or tradition. And it gives us the incentive to step out on faith, even when we don't have all the finances. And fourthly, it streamlines our ministries. If a program no longer fulfills God's purposes, we can get rid of it. But what is God's purpose for our church? What does he consider to be extremely important for our church to accomplish? I believe that there are two great things that God wants us to do. And the first great thing is the Great Commission. And so let's read the Great Commission together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So God considers it to be of utmost importance for First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church to convince and train believers and non-believers to become followers of Jesus Christ. In other words, we must be careful not to give people the impression that it is okay to be a casual Christian. We need to convince them that it's not okay to be satisfied with getting people to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior just so that they can have fire insurance from going to hell. Instead, we must help people to make following Jesus the most important thing in their life. In other words, that it becomes their all-consuming passion. So we must convince both non-Christians and the casual Christian to make the commitment of asking, what would Jesus have me to do? And then just do it. But what would Jesus do? What does Jesus consider to be the most important thing to do? Well, another great thing is the Great Commandment, which is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And let's read that together. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The great commandment is to love. Or to be more specific, it means that we grow in our love for God and for other people. So, if you combine the Great Commission with the Great Commandment, you get the purpose of the church, which is found written in your bulletin every single Sunday. You see, a few years ago, a number of leaders within our English congregation got together and we decided, how can we uniquely write the purpose for our church, our congregation, particularly a church that consists of mostly college students in Ithaca, New York? And we came up with this statement: to develop humble servants who will love the Lord, the lost, and the local church for the rest of their lives. Developing humble servants has to do with fulfilling the Great Commission. Loving the Lord, the lost, and the local church has to do with fulfilling the Great Commandment. But how does God want us to fulfill the purpose of developing humble servants who will love the Lord, the lost, and the local church for the rest of their lives? What skills do we need to learn in order to better express this kind of love? We can find some valuable insights by taking a look at a church that succeeded in being a purpose-driven church, a church that did an excellent job of fulfilling both the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. I'm talking about the very first church that ever existed, the first century church in Jerusalem that started right after Pentecost and just kind of burst in the flames of enthusiasm for the Lord and for the lost in the local church. So let's read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and together with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In this passage and in the surrounding passages, we can see that the first century Jerusalem church did 9 things in order to excel in being a purpose-driven church. It's important to realize that none of these 9 things were ends in themselves. Instead, they were merely means to the end of helping people grow in their love for God and for other people, and in convincing and training other people to do the same. And these are the same things that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church must do if we are going to succeed in becoming a purpose-driven church. On one hand, the leaders need to make a commitment to the individuals to provide the best atmosphere possible for them to fulfill this purpose. But on the other hand, each individual within this church needs to make a commitment to respond positively to this atmosphere. So, as we study these 9 areas, I'd really like for you to ask yourselves the following 2 questions. I'd like for you to ask the Holy Spirit to direct you as you answer these questions. So the first one is, how well is First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church doing in these areas? And even more importantly, what can I do to help First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church improve in each of these areas? And so I encourage you that after I bring attention to you each one of these 9 areas, that in your mind you start thinking like, what can I do to help my church become the kind of church that God wants it to be? And I have put these 9 areas in alphabetical order to hopefully make it more memorable for you. So, the first area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in order to excel in being a purpose-driven church is found in verse 43, where Luke writes that everybody was filled with awe. And in verse 47, where it says they were praising God, the church had an atmosphere of reverence and celebration. In other words, the first thing that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to do to grow is in the area of adoration. In order to develop this atmosphere, the church leaders of First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church must provide opportunities for people to express their love to God in a culturally relevant way. In particular, we need to do this in our worship service. The reason why it's called a worship service is because we want to worship God. And our worship leaders not only need to have the necessary musical skills, but even more importantly, they need to have just that heart of worship in which their performance is an overflow from their personal love for God. And the leaders must help lead people into the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I think I experienced that this morning. I really appreciate our worship leaders. We have a lot of different worship leaders, and every week somebody invests a lot of hours so that we can have a worshipful experience. And as individuals, we must make a commitment to respond positively to the worship atmosphere that the worship leaders are developing. First of all, it's important that we have a daily private worship at home where we tell God how much we love him through our prayers and our singing. And in a sense, it's almost like you guys are in an orchestra and the worship leaders are the conductors, and during the week you're practicing at home so that on Sunday we'll have a beautiful concert for God. Secondly, we must make a commitment to come to church with a goal of praising God instead of merely being pleased. We need to come with a humble attitude of what can I put into it, rather than so much what can I get out of it. In other words, we need to remember that God is our audience. And throughout the whole worship service, each Christian should focus on expressing our love for God through singing or listening to the sermon. Well, the second area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in if we are going to succeed at being a purpose-driven church is found in verse 42, where it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. In other words, the second area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in the area of Bible study. In order to develop this atmosphere, the church leaders of First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church must train people to understand what the Bible means and how it can be applied to their lives. The Bible must be the authority in all that it is, and we must use good Bible study techniques to train people how to excel in the skills needed to become a purpose-driven church. We must provide those learning opportunities and sermons, discipleship groups, and mentoring throughout the week. But the leaders must not only teach what the Bible teaches, but we should also train the individuals to study the Bible for themselves, to train them to figure out what to do in their own lives. In other words, it's good to give a person a fish, but it's even better to teach them how to fish. It's good to teach somebody something what the Bible says, but it's better to teach them how to find that truth themselves. And as individuals, we must make a commitment to respond positively to the Bible teaching the leaders are giving. First of all, it's important that we have a daily time of reading the Bible at home where we listen to what God says to us as individuals. Again, in a sense, it's like we're practicing for the big event on Sunday. Secondly, we must make a commitment to come to both worship service and discipleship groups consistently, even in the midst of the most busy time of the year, when you just feel like prelims are piling up, or when you have a lot of backlog in your job. Thirdly, we must make a commitment to listen to what God wants us to do. It may help to take notes and discuss the message with others on Sunday afternoon or during lunchtime. And fourthly, we must make a commitment to apply what we learned. In our single gender accountability groups that meet after worship service, that's the time where we can share with each other how we're going to apply the sermon and how we're going to apply the Bible study to our lives. And then the following week, you can check up on each other to find out if you actually fulfilled the goal that you planned. Well, the third area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in, if we're going to become a purpose-driven church, can be found in verse 44, where it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. the early Christians shared what they had with others who were less fortunate than them. In other words, the third area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in compassion. In order to develop this atmosphere, the church leaders of First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church must make a commitment to provide opportunities for people to serve the underprivileged. The church leaders must provide opportunities for people from our church to go as a group to help out those who are less privileged. It could be here in Ithaca, like Saturday before yesterday, where some of us went to help out with Community Faith Partners Care Day. And I know, like people in my group, we helped move wood for an elderly pastor who was not very healthy. But it could also be going out of Ithaca, like to participate in the Brooklyn Mission Trip Team, or to where you help out children of Chinese blue-collar workers in Brooklyn Chinatown, or to go to Bolivia to work with, to minister with low-income children and to train those who are less educated. As an individual, we must make a commitment to volunteer when the leaders provide these opportunities to help the underprivileged, and we should also seek out opportunities to do that on our own. Well, the fourth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in, if we are going to become a purpose-driven church, can be found in verse 46, where Luke writes that they sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone as he had need. The early Christians sacrificially donated their possessions and their money to help build the kingdom of God. In other words, the fourth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in the area of donating. In order to develop this atmosphere, the leaders of our church must make a commitment to provide a purpose-driven budget. Budget should provide the means to develop humble servants who will love the Lord, the lost, and the local church for the rest of their lives. The budget should reflect good stewardship, revealing that the money will not be wasted on items that will not fulfill that purpose for the church. But the budget should also reveal faith and ingenuity so that the people of our church can look at it and think to themselves, I'm excited about investing in this vision. As individuals, we must make a commitment to sacrificially give to the church and other Christian organizations in order to build the kingdom of God. It may mean living a simple lifestyle or a more simple lifestyle so that we have more money to give away. I think it was John Wesley who said, make as much money as you can so that you can save as much money as you can so you can give as much money as you can. Well, since I've moved here 10 years ago, I have been amazed that our little church that has such a high percentage of college students somehow can support the full-time salary of two pastors. That means that there are people within our church that are giving very sacrificially. And next year, we're hoping to hire, bring on staff a new person. We're hoping to bring Xiao Xing, who will graduate from Westminster Seminary with a degree in counseling, and we believe that she will be particularly effective in discipling women. So please pray for Xiao as she considers what she's going to do next year, and pray that God will provide our church financial needs as we step out in faith. So the fifth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in, if we are going to succeed in being a purpose-driven church, can be found in verse 47, where Luke writes, "And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." And though it was the Lord who ultimately was responsible for increasing the number of Christians in their church, he was able to do this because the Christians in the Jerusalem church were faithful in telling non-Christians the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that he rose again to give them eternal life. In other words, the fifth area that our church needs to grow in is in the area of evangelism. In order to develop this atmosphere, the leaders of our church must make a commitment to equip people to witness to non-Christians and provide evangelistic and pre-evangelistic events for them to invite non-Christians to attend. And last Sunday was an example of an evangelistic event that we provided. I know some of you brought non-Christians with you. Some of you invited non-Christians and they decided not to come. But the important thing is that you're faithful and that you leave the results to God. But it was great. There were three of the non-Christians who indicated on their response sheets that though they're not ready to become a Christian, they wanted to talk to somebody more about Christianity, questions that they had. And that's where we want to be. We don't want to be a church that forces our beliefs on others, shoves it down their throats, but more to be a community that shares what we believe and allows the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts. And I know that we had people within our church that met with these non-Christians and talked with them. And the beginning of next semester, we are going to equip people in our discipleship groups to communicate their faith to non-Christians and non-Christian friends and families. And those of you who want to get even more intense evangelism training, you can always talk to me. And I feel like the best training is on-the-job training, that we just go out, the two or three of us, and talk to people about what we believe. So if that's something that you have a heart for, then definitely let me know. And we'll continue to provide other evangelistic worship services. I think November 3, 4, or 5, whatever the first Sunday in November is, we're bringing in John Sanford again, who is the professor who invented the gene gun, and he's going to talk about science in the Bible, and that'll be a great worship service to invite non-Christians to. We'll also have pre-evangelistic events, events that maybe the gospel is not going to be clearly presented, but it just gives opportunity for non-Christians who may feel uncomfortable coming to a worship service, but would feel comfortable like coming to a picnic and a hike. And maybe then they'll feel so comfortable being around us that they'll actually consider coming to our worship service, or later on maybe we can have some spiritual conversations with them. So anyhow, when we provide these opportunities as individuals, it's important to think strategically, who can I invite to this particular event? And then also for you to think about throughout the week, who's somebody that I can just share what God's doing in my life, or who is somebody that I can share how God can make a difference in their lives. So the sixth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in, if we are going to succeed in being a purpose-driven church, is found in verse 4, where Luke writes, verse 42, where Luke writes that they were devoted to the fellowship, and then jumping to verse 46, where Luke writes that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And so, though they met in a large group in the temple courts, they also met in small groups in the individuals' homes, where they experienced joy and authenticity. So the church basically became just like this big family because everybody cared for each other. And yet, in studying other parts of the New Testament church history, the church also helped the Christians to not only be better brothers and sisters with other Christians, but also to become better parents, children, and siblings. In other words, the sixth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in the area of family care. And in order to develop this atmosphere, the church leaders need to make a commitment to support both the church family and the nuclear family. On one hand, we must provide discipleship groups for the church family where prayer, mutual encouragement, and accountability takes place. But on the other hand, we must provide training and events for the nuclear family to help parents and children and husbands and wives to grow in their love for each other. As individuals, we need to make a commitment to care for both our church family and our nuclear family. On one hand, each of us should be involved in some sort of small group where, whether it's the discipleship group after worship service, or whether it's College Town Bible Fellowship, or whether it's the Latino Christian community. Because if your only interaction with our church family is when you come to our worship service, it may be an indication that you don't think that investing in the lives of your Christian brothers and sisters is a very high priority. There's no way that you can experience the needed prayer, mutual encouragement, and accountability in a large worship service. You need to be involved in a small group. And in some ways, I would think that small groups might even be more important than the worship service, but that's a false dichotomy because both of them are important. Yet, on the other hand, each of us needs to make a commitment to our nuclear family. We need to make sure that we aren't so busy at church that we don't have time to spend with our families. We need to make sure that our love is growing for our parents, for our children, and our siblings. Even if at this time in your life, about the only time that you can interact with them is by on phone or by FaceTime. Well, the seventh area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow is, if we're going to become a purpose-driven church, is global missions. Although this passage doesn't make any explicit reference to the church's commitment to spread the gospel to other countries and other cultures, the book of Acts makes it very clear that the early church was committed to global missions. In fact, earlier in the book of Acts, Jesus made it clear to his disciples that they should be involved in global missions. Take a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Where Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Notice that Jesus was not satisfied with the disciples only making an impact on the people that lived in their city of Jerusalem. Instead, he wanted them to make an impact to people in the ends of the earth. In the same way, Jesus not only wants us to be involved in sharing the good news to people here in Ithaca, but he also wants us to be involved in sharing the good news to people in different continents. So In order to develop this commitment to global missions, the church leaders of our church must provide opportunities for people to get involved in spreading the good news to other cultures in other countries through going, giving, and praying. We have a mission committee that strategizes how our church can become more effective in mobilizing people to go on mission trips, how our church can increase its mission budget, and how our church can be more effective in praying for missionaries and the unsaved people in other church cultures and countries. So if you really have a heart for global missions, I'd like to encourage you to talk to me about joining that committee. We definitely, almost everybody in that committee is from the Chinese congregation, so we need some more representation from this congregation. As individuals, each of us must make a commitment to become involved in global missions. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus makes it clear that this is not an option, instead, it's a command. Your years in college are such an ideal time to get involved in global missions. It's easier for you to take time, even months or maybe even a couple of years, to go on global missions than it would be any time later when you have a commitment to your job or to your family. And so I encourage all of you to go on a mission trip before you start your career. I know for myself, between my third and fourth year in college, I spent 8 months in Belize, Central America, and that was probably one of the best decisions I ever made. So for you, it may be to go on a mission trip that our church supports, like a trip to Brooklyn Chinatown or a trip to Bolivia. It may mean that you go on a mission trip sponsored by a missionary organization or an NGO. For example, right now, Hannah Yang, who is a graduate from Cornell University and who attended our church, I think, for all 4 years, she is actually in Greece, and she's ministering to Muslim refugees. And she's just showing a lot of sacrificial love to those people. And she's doing this before she launches her career. And it's very likely that it may help her to decide what kind of career that she wants to pursue. Because some of you should actually consider making it a career to be involved in global missions. We should be giving our best to the Master. And it would be great if some of you are just investing full time in going to another country, particularly a country where hardly anybody ever gets a chance to hear about Jesus. Some of you should consider going on the Urbana Mission Conference during the winter break, and when you're there, you can be exposed to a lot of different opportunities to get involved in missions. Next week, we're going to talk more about that. And some of you should consider financially supporting somebody that's going on a mission trip or somebody that's going on the Urbana Mission Conference if you can't go yourself. And you might be thinking, I don't have a whole lot of money, but the important thing is to honor God with the little that we have now so that when we have more, that we will already be in the habit of giving. And some of us should consider investing more time and fervency in praying for global missions. Now, throughout this passage, we can see the eighth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in if we're going to become a purpose-driven church. In this passage, we can see that individuals within the church used their spiritual gifts to help each other and to build the kingdom of God. Now, some of them had miraculous gifts, but most of them had ordinary but important gifts like teaching, encouragement, giving, and evangelism. So in other words, the eighth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in the area of helping. In order to develop this atmosphere, our church leaders must help people learn what their spiritual gifts are, and the church leaders must provide opportunities for Christians to use their spiritual gifts to build the kingdom of God. We need to unleash every Christian to use their spiritual gift to its fullest potential, whether it's inside this church building or whether it is outside the church building. We need to make sure that we aren't burning out a minority of people by expecting them to do the majority of the ministry. And we need to make sure that we are enlisting the people on the sidelines so that they can enjoy the fulfillment of ministry. As individuals, we must make a commitment to learn our spiritual gift and then putting those spiritual gifts into practice. Each of us should regularly be involved using our spiritual gift in one or two ministries per week, and probably not more than, say, four ministries a week. And later on this morning, somebody from our youth ministry and somebody from our children's ministry will come up here and share about the need to serve those people who are younger than you. And later on, we'll also give you an opportunity to fill out the insert in your bulletin to indicate where you would like to help serve in our church. Well, the ninth area, last but certainly not least, that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow, and if we're going to develop a purpose-driven church, is found in verse 44, where Luke writes that they devoted themselves to prayer. The early church was committed to a lifestyle of praying and interceding. And that's why the church had so much power. In other words, the ninth area that First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church needs to grow in is in the area of intercession. In order to develop this atmosphere, the church leaders must make a commitment to provide opportunities for the people of our church to pray together. And the most common time will probably be in our discipleship groups. But we should also provide times for extended prayer, such as our concert of prayer that we have once or twice a year. And there's a time on Thursday afternoons when the people from College Town Bible Fellowship meet together to pray. And even if you don't go to that fellowship, but you have a heart to pray for our church, you're welcome to come, and I'd be glad to give you a ride. And so as individuals, we must make a commitment to pray daily in our private times for the church, especially that it would be an effective, purpose-driven church. And that's why in your bulletins, every Sunday, there's on the bottom of the insert is some prayer requests. And I really would recommend that you take this home, maybe slip it into your Bible, and when you're doing your quiet times, remember to pray for our church. Pray that we become a more effective church. So, the purpose of First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church is to develop humble servants who will love the Lord, the lost, and the local church for the rest of their lives. Will you help this purpose be fulfilled? One of the ways you can do this is to invest in those who are younger than you. So right now, I would like to ask, Cindy Tong here? Yes. She's going to come up to share. And right after that, we are going to have Leanne is going to come, and she's going to share her heart for the youth ministry. So that'll be a special treat, too. So come on the show.